the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. Jason and I have our famed cotton specialist, Brian Paralisi, sitting in a room with us today, and we're going to talk a little bit about where we're at, how we're going to proceed forward and finish off this cotton crop. So Jason, it was like 64 degrees this morning.
63 at 6:30 at my house.
Yeah. I think I put a picture up on Twitter of my dash at 65 about 6:45 this morning. I didn't put anything else, just a picture up there, and I was like, it speaks for itself, right? Yep. Great rice pollination weather.
Yeah. You know, well, Ben's in Florida, so I texted Ben to make sure he knew that it was 63 degrees at home when he was in Florida.
I'm sure he knew because he was probably running, and and I was as well, and it felt great.
He's been saving up on his beach time. He's been getting some marathon beach times in, I think.
You know, the great thing about it, and we're talking about cotton today, but we needed this for a rice crop that was planted late, and it's heading out
so
right now.
So are we talking about rice or are we talking about cotton?
We're going to talk about cotton. We're going to get around to cotton.
Well, it seems like we're talking about rice right now.
But we are right now. But how big of importance these very low nighttime temperatures are to our rice yields that are flowering right now is huge. So I just wanted to make that comment.
It's good to have low nighttime temperatures for everything, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Including humans.
Mm-hmm.
Moderate high temperatures and low nighttime temperatures puts everybody in a better mood in August.
Yeah, but how are we going to finish out a cotton crop with these low temperatures?
It's definitely going to reduce our DD60 load, but I think we'll make up for it because it's not going to stay this way long.
No, I mean, you're talking about this has been 5 or 6 days. I had looked for next week. I've just been living it up this week. So
take advantage when you can.
Yeah, no, I assume it's going to get hot again.
If you believe a 10-day forecast, a little bit of rain moves in next week, and it kind of stays cool with the highs in the low 90s and the lower to mid-70s, I guess, for nighttime temperature. So still good. But I know, Brian, riding around the state in the last couple of days, there is an awful lot of cotton that we would term cut out right now.
Yes, we are. I would say the vast majority is it cut out or even past there, where we're in the realm of, you know, counting DD60s for different trigger points from an insecticide application standpoint all the way to harvest aid application.
Does it seem early? I mean, you'd be in the first week of August, I mean, because you were seeing white blooms, you know, picking up, you know, over the past couple of weeks. It just seems like it ought to be further into August, but I may be wrong.
I think that part of that is we've been so efficient with our fruit set. We hadn't really lost anything. And so I think that has played catch up with a lot of the reasons why we are where we are at this point.
Yeah, because we hadn't had – I guess that one period we had some cloudy days strung together, but we really hadn't had a nasty period, like, you know, really hot, humid, and cloudy. The only time I've really heard people talk – I'm sorry, Bobby, I interrupted you. But the only time I've really heard people talking about dumping fruit has been when they started watering.
Yeah, and a lot of that was on a varietal basis. It might have been a better suited dry land variety or – you know, and it was exposed to those conditions. But by and large, I think that we've been really fortunate with our fruit set.
Well, you know, and that's a lot of the old timers say, and I heard Don say this earlier, the best, you know, growth regulator you have is a fruit set. And we retained all that fruit like y'all were talking about. So that's why we have a lot of cotton cutting out early in a lot of people's opinion, I guess.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. There's been a lot of PGR applied. I mean, I think we're past that now. But I mean, some producers obviously use more than others, but this fruit set has really helped manage. We have a good size cotton. I can't think of a single field I've been to that's out of hand in rank.
Yeah, and you don't see that. I mean, you obviously walk a lot more cotton fields than either me or Bobby do, but you don't see that, you know, just driving down the highway. I mean, we've been all over the past couple of weeks, and you don't see a field that you just think, man, well, what were they thinking on that? You know, they all look, you know, pretty uniform. I mean, there's there's some, there's always some, but, you know, there's a lot of pretty even fields out there.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of people understand how to manage their crop and just the environmental conditions were favorable.
Yeah. Once we finally got going in the spring, we've definitely had, you know, decent weather for the most part, you know, in a majority of the Delta. You know, even in Tunica, I think it's, you know, they even finally got dried out good, too. We were up there yesterday.
Yeah, it's dry in Tunica now.
Yeah.
We had an OBT we had to chop some pigweeds out of, and it could use rain.
Well, in saying all that, we've been talking about this cutout, and what comes next for you when you're sitting here looking at this cotton that may be two nodes above white flower? We might have irrigated it once or twice. How are we going to finish this crop out that we think, as Jason said earlier, looks to be a real early crop?
Well, first of all, you know, water is an issue. We need to fill out and finish the crop we have. If we can do that, I feel like we'll have a big yield in buying across acres. And Angus was on this morning. He probably touched on this as far as the, you know, DD60s and counting days between now and defoliation. There's different cutouts for different insect pests. I'm pretty sure you said he touched on this. So you start to eliminate different insect pests that you can check off your list and know you're past those. And, you know, all the way up to your defoliators will be your last ones. And then once you accumulate 850 DD60s between five nodes above white flower to 850, then you're ready to defoliate.
Yeah, so I think Angus was saying something about stopping spraying insecticides around 360 DD60s above white flower, or five nodes above white flower, what we effectively term cutout, which a lot of, like you said earlier, our cotton is past that already.
We're close to where I would think, and you know, DD60s, I'm starting to monitor those and follow them myself, but I'm not sure if the vast majority of people really are looking at, well, we're at, you know, 297 DD60s, because I mean, yeah, that does mean something, but I mean, you got to understand what you're calculating there. There might be a better tool to correlate that to someone, like, you know, maybe I'm two nodes or something.
Yeah.
Might would help.
I like, and we do it a lot in rice, and I think the descriptive characteristics, and, you know, in soybeans, you're thinking R1, R2, it's got this system, but in rice, we use a lot of jargon like the mid-season or PD, and I think that's right where you are with cotton and this two nodes thing, because I was telling Angus earlier, are we going back to cotton, man, or are we going to do something different? When he started talking DD60s, it made me think, oh Lord.
Yeah, tell me about it. But that's where we are. The cotton, we missed most areas missed the rain chance last week. We were counting on that.
Yeah, that was a fail.
Yeah, and once they start pushing the 80% to the next day to the next, I'm like, yep, we're going to miss it. And
every bit of it.
And we did. And as most of the state missed it. And then this is a 10-day stretch at least of dry. So cotton that can be irrigated will benefit from that. But, you know, we'll just have to, you know, it depends on environmental factors for, you know, dry land, non-irrigated cotton. I still think we have good potential.
What's your feel on the irrigation cutoff where the crop is right now? I mean, if most of it is past cutout, you know, what's your idea on when we're going to have to quit watering or need to, should quit watering it?
It's probably not going to be much more. It depends on where you were and your watering when you got your last rain. And, you know, you have your top crop that you're going to want to fill out. I don't think it's going to be maybe one more watering, you know, by the mid-August, I would think.
Yeah.
Farm to farmer, field to field, and you know when your crop needs water. I would think by the middle of this month, if you're on time with everything, you should be pretty good.
So if we're ceasing or getting to the point of ceasing insecticide spraying and winding down on watering, then, you know, considering, I mean, assuming that the fall is good, we're looking at a decently early crop then.
Yeah, actually, I was doing the math the other day. I mean, yesterday, if we were at 5 nodes above white flower, that's about 46 days given average temperatures, and most of it's ahead of that. So that would be the middle of September, and that's kind of a last case. I mean, that was a late scenario, and yeah. I think that anything that was borderline early, like we discussed, would be, you know, early September, depending on your method of defoliation. Early September, you know, I think some pickers will be in the field for sure.
No, and that'll be good, and you know, especially if the weather holds, which, you know, who knows? It hadn't held for us the last couple of years in the fall, but we're kind of due for a good fall pattern.
We are, and it's an active hurricane season already. That's kind of, I know that's in the back of every farmer's mind that has cotton.
Well, that's in the back of every farmer's mind. Period. I think just. Watch them spin down there, man, and getting in the Gulf.
Oh, gosh.
Bobby's playing on his phone. He's not really paying any attention to what we're doing.
I'm trying to edit a rice crop looks promising article. So that's,
again, we're talking about cotton.
I know. We're talking about cotton now, but hurricanes affect rice too. And y'all were talking about getting a good harvest wind out. And I guess that's one of the blessings where you hear a guy saying, man, we're cutting out early, just like you did when we come here. Don't you think it's a little early? Well, it's going to get us to the backside earlier too, right?
I mean, there's so many things. We can talk about this on another show sometime later on in the late summer, fall. But, man, a good fall does so much for so much, you know, mm-hmm. just, you know, getting a crop out, obviously, first and foremost, in good shape. But then, too, the field prep that we've missed the past at least two years, and then, you know, more than that over the last 5 or 6 years, I mean, that just sets you up in the spring mm-hmm. to be so much further down the field when the weather breaks come spring. But, again, we can talk about that, you know, when it's a little bit more relevant.
Morale. Just overall morale.
Yeah, and that too.
I would agree with that. And like you said, the past 2 years, people are fighting ruts when they're trying to, they should be burning down. That's just not a place you want to be. But, you know, do what you can do.
That's right.
And that does help morale. We'll stay positive as long as we can.
Y'all were mentioning cutout and hurricanes and stopping insecticide sprays and... But a while ago, you said something about 800-plus heat units to get to defoliation. So I guess as we're considering stopping our insecticide sprays now, the next thing we're going to do in these cotton fields is knock the leaves off. So I know y'all been doing a lot of research on that. Darren was doing it prior to you taking the job, so I'm assuming you picked some of that up. What are y'all looking at in that regard?
Yeah, Jake McNeil, this is his last summer, and he's doing a defoliation study and looking at different carrier volumes, droplet sizes, and different products, just to try to see what's the best combination and for different applications. And what he's basically found, you know, you have an aggressive versus a passive style treatment, like we were discussing earlier. There's not a silver bullet method that you can do that's just going to solve every defoliation problem, but sometimes you need an aggressive form. Sometimes you need a little more passive form.
In my estimation, in all of my defoliating cotton, temperature plays a huge role in it, and it's a lot of art to it as well.
Impending rain, temperatures, and there's a place for each product, but it just depends on what your situation is and what's coming.
I get about 3 calls a year about defoliation, and I point them straight at the cotton specialist.
Well, my big thing is, you know, if you're sitting there and you're about to make an application, and you got to factor in temperature, it just throws a mind boggle into things. Of if it stays hot like it is now, these acres can be treated this way, but whoa, if it wake up like this morning in 65 degrees,
yeah, I mean it can seriously change the whole mm-hmm. treatment.
And what's your goal? I mean, are you making a second application for regrowth, or are you trying to open bowls? You know, if you're doing a regrowth, you might want a different product as well. And then there's carrier volumes too for that. You know, more water is better on a regrowth because you have less surface area
right.
that you're hitting on first application, you know, the leaves aren't, you know, the carrier, what we found, their carrier volume isn't as important.
Well, and you were talking about droplet size and stuff a while ago. You know, most everybody's got these big dicamba tips and in their sprayers now. How's that going to influence based on what you've seen at Jake's?
Jake's stuff, he has one more year, but his preliminary data suggests that regardless of droplet size, it was more about the product being used and then carrier volume on the second application. But we also know that a cone style tip is going to give better coverage, and that is not an AI type larger, coarser droplet. I'm not trying to say that that's what.
No, but my really was, it would have seemed to me, if you'd asked me with no knowledge of it, I would have said that, you know, droplet size would have been a big deal on the first application. That's interesting.
It was interesting, and he's not finished, so we don't have a conclusive.
And then too, but you got, again, depending on the treatment, you got some systemic products like your bowl openers and the hormones and stuff, but then you got some contacts products too that are, you know, strictly involved in knocking leaves off, whether it's one of the PPO based treatments or I'm lying if I start spouting out defoliants.
But. Yeah, well, I'm not looking at the data set exactly, but I know that it became more apparent in the second application, yeah, where it was more critical about droplet size, carrier volume, and how the efficacy of the products, which is interesting. I'd like to err on the side of more coverage, no matter what, you know, on a defoliation.
I mean, that would be my gut instinct too.
What just in general can you narrow down? What in his data set? What was a good overall treatment?
Well. Like I said,
and we could pause and look if you need to.
Well, I don't have it with me, but if this answers your question, I think going from an aggressive and a passive standpoint, a lot of the products all work good if they're used for the right reasons. If you're trying to, if it's really, really hot and you want to be aggressive with a product, like, I think Folex is your deciding factor if that's aggressive or not. And, You would want to back down on the rates when it's really hot, increase it when it's really cool, and his data reflects that. Then if you were to leave that out, you start looking at different products that have residual effects on regrowth. You know, you have your Ethafon for if you want to open bowls, and that's in your second application primarily. You could put it in the first. Some people want to do a one-shot deal. And you can have, a lot of times you have that mindset going into it, and you find yourself, if things don't cooperate, with a second one, which could adjust your product again based on what you use the first time. So like you said, I mean, it just depends. There's so many factors.
All right, Brian. So my phone hadn't been ringing as much in cotton this year as it has in past on the late season potassium issue that we've been observing over the last 5 years with these faster fruiting cultivars. But I know I saw a picture you put up on Twitter the other day. How much of that's out in the state? And if we've got this really big bowl load, that's generally when we see that happen.
Yeah, I've been seeing that in multiple locations. At the North Farm, we have it. And I've had some, not so many calls on it. More people sending me pictures like, you know, that's what this is. I put out 150 pounds of potash. Why am I seeing this? Things of that nature. But I think it's more and more apparent across the state. More and more people are seeing it. And I think it's a couple of different reasons. I think for this season, it's feasible to assume that the bowl load and the crop that we have out there could have used a vast majority of the potash that was applied. But a lot of these pictures were also taken when it was really hot, really dry. And I think you could have some drought-induced potash deficiency showing up, too, just because the plant's been used to having it. It's been sucking it up. Then all of a sudden it gets dry. And, you know, it's going to move in the soil solution. So,
well, and that's one of the – not to cut you off there, but that's one of the things we always talk about when we get in a year like we've been in and we're generally putting our potash out in the fall. Some of our cotton ground on the very low CECs, we'll put it out in the spring. But when we have a spring like we did this year with so much rain on those lower CEC soils, we can leach that potash down a little bit under the rooting zone in a hot, dry year where those roots aren't really expanding.
Yeah, because if you think back when we started, if you pull up a lot of plants, there's not a long tap root. I mean, early on, whenever the plant was growing, we had feeder roots and was getting timely rains. It never really stressed. So I think that plays a lot to do with it, leaching out over the winter. And then, like we were talking the other day about building the bank, you know, of your potash or of your different, just your soil fertility bank. If you're not applying extra when it's economically feasible, then if you make some back-to-back high-yielding cotton crops, corn crops, you know, bean, what have you, whatever your rotation is, then you can really mine that bank down pretty good.
So yeah. I know we're past the point of doing anything about it at this point, but, you know, if you rewind the clock, you know, a few weeks, how late can you put it out and get a response?
That's a good question. I actually had that exact question posed to me earlier, and it was around the 4th of July, and I advised the guy to put it out until he told me that it was dry land and there wasn't a good chance of rain for a while. I said, well, if you missed your lucky 4th of July one, then you run the risk of it just sitting out there not really helping you. So, you know, I think it depends. If you could have watered it in that day,
yeah,
I think it would have helped him based on the pictures I saw.
Well, Bobby, I know y'all do a bunch of work with potash, but if it's not, like in that case, you put it out at a time where you expect to get a response, but then, you know, say you missed a rain, you expected to get a rain and missed a rain, and it's just laying there. Is potash one that'll lay there for and be available for the crop next year?
I mean, it wouldn't have been a lost cause. Obviously, his soil needed it. That's what I told him, if you could afford it. Might not help you this year. That particular soil had a CEC of around 20, so he didn't have to worry about leaching it. It would have been beneficial. But, you know, if he could save that money for something else this year, because it wouldn't have helped this crop, you know.
He was banking the potash. It's just he was moving his ROI to 2021 instead of 2020.
And that's my point. You know, if with a nutrient like that, if you get it out there and, you know, and circumstances conspire on you that it's not useful this year, is, you know, it's still going to be there.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been a loss, but margins are so tight. And with the budget and the prices, you know, you might could spend it a little more wisely.
Okay, Bobby, I'll.
You don't have to kill it right now. I'm just saying whenever you find an open.
Bobby, have you noticed Bobby's been completely disconnected on this podcast?
He has. He's like, come on, let's do a podcast in 2 weeks or next week. And then I tell him and he's been disconnected ever since.
I'm not disconnected.
All right, Brian, where are you headed from here?
Well, I'm in town taking care of a little business since I'm here. And I'll be going back to Starkville probably Friday morning. That's tomorrow. Heck, I got my days messed up. Yeah.
It's hard, man. This time of year, it's a blur. We tell everybody starting these jobs, and we were in here talking to Drew about it on a podcast with him, and you hit that brick wall where you don't even really know what day it is because you're just getting in the truck in the morning and going.
Oh, yeah. My son's birthday yesterday, this today, tomorrow go back, Saturday. You know, we're trying to move, so we're looking at properties on days that Emily can look. That's Saturday, and then start back over Monday.
Well, we appreciate you taking time out of the schedule to come and visit with us.
Yeah,
and
I enjoyed visiting.
Hopefully the fall will hold and the new cotton specialist will be everybody's good luck charm.
Well, I hope so.
Well, again, we appreciate it. And, folks, if y'all need anything, just give us a call.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.